Good morning, everyone. We have another special announcement. There was a birthday among us yesterday. Our favorite campus intern, although she is the only campus intern, but yet she's still our favorite, Gwenderman Molden. Let's give her, that's her full, in case you didn't know, that's her full name, Gwenderman. Like Ben Benjamin, Ken Kinderman, Gwen Gwenderman. So, yeah, just so you know. Happy birthday, Gwen. You look not a year past 20. Amen. There we go. Amen. She's older than that. But anyway, good morning, everyone. So I come to you not under duress, but ready. So I did get a call yesterday that the Warners that were supposed to come here, their son got sick and he wasn't getting any better. So they had to pull out at the last second, and Jeff was out of town. So the stunt double is back. I'm here. I don't plan on doing any stunts today, but, you know, who knows, the stage, there are some pitfalls up here. So if I fall, just clap and we'll act like it was supposed to be part of it. Amen. Amen. Well, this is, of course, the last Sunday in November, so this is the end of our gratitude lessons. We got a great chance to hear from Mike and Amberjeet Tolliver last week, which was really cool. To get to have that relationship with them is amazing. For those of you that have been around for a while, you know Mike and Amberjeet really well. But those of you who haven't been, it is a treat for us. These are what we call the OGs. They've been around our movement from the beginning. And Mike has written a lot of books, you know, and they've done a lot of things for our churches as a whole. And so to be able to have a relationship with them is super encouraging. So. And it's good for Jeff and Amanda to have their good friends here, and they were really encouraged by that as well. So we're going to finish up here today. If you turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 14, we're going to finish up today with a lesson, the title which I call Why Gratitude. Why Gratitude? Now, we've talked a lot about this, of course, right? And I kind of wanted to bring a lot of the elements of what we've talked about together and really look at some practical, some good ideals, some things where we can really start to kind of, if you haven't already, start putting gratitude into practice. Now, gratitude is not just a November thing. You know, typically if you've been a part of the church for a while, November is gratitude month. We all know that, right? Because of Thanksgiving. But as you'll see in the scriptures, gratitude is a powerful piece of the puzzle for disciples. Gratitude is something that if it is ruling your life, you're going to be in a good place. If it's something that you're continually focused on, you're going to be doing well spiritually. I don't know anyone who in the midst of gratitude is struggling with their faith. Most of the time when you're grateful, you're feeling good. When you're grateful, you are focused on Jesus. When you're grateful, you're just in a good spot. You're great to be around. People love grateful people. Gratitude is just such a powerful thing. And to isolate it to 1 month of the year kind of shortchanges it a little bit. It's something that I hope you'll use even going forward, and especially going into the Christmas season, right? Gratitude for Jesus being born. Gratitude for what Jesus represents. And so we're going to tie all this in together. Amen. And look at really the importance of practicing gratitude. I think the first point I wanted to share with you guys today is that gratitude points us back to God, who is the ultimate provider. If you look in Matthew chapter 14, verse 15, we're all pretty familiar with this parable, but the story of Jesus feeding the 5,000. As evening approached, in verse 15, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a remote place, and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so they can go to the villages and buy themselves some food." Jesus replied, they do not need to go away. You give them something to eat. We have here only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, they replied. Bring them here to me, he said. And he directed the people to sit on the grass. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the people. They all ate and were satisfied, and the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. If you go into Matthew 15, next chapter over, there's a very similar story that happens again. This is in verse 34. Jesus feeds the 4,000. How many loaves do you have? Jesus asked. 7, they replied, and a few small fish. He told the crowd to sit down on the ground. Then he took the 7 loaves and the fish, and when he had given thanks, he broke them and gave them to the disciples, and they in turn to the people. They all ate and were satisfied. Afterward, the disciples picked up 7 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. The number of those who ate were 4,000 men, besides women and children. You know, it's interesting. I've always wondered why he did the same miracle twice. And I can only imagine that the disciples didn't get it the first time. Right? They didn't get that God is the ultimate provider. And I can relate to not getting it the first time. As many of you know, I've been unemployed for about 2 months now. And it's scary, to say the least, to know that I, although am working hard, making it my full-time job to find a job, when you're not getting anything but rejection letters, it's scary. And you can be tempted to think that God is not going to provide. But I have to look at my life and go, God is the ultimate provider, and he's going to take care of me. We forget, right? We can see miracles like Jesus feeding the 5,000. We've seen things like that happen in our lives where God connected the dots, right? When you thought, there's no way I'm going to make it. God, I don't know if God's going to, and he comes through at the last second. And we go, praise God. But the next time we get, what do? Is it going to happen? We get panicked. And I think that's why this shows up twice. Is that, be reminded, God is the ultimate provider. And here's what gratitude does, though. It reminds us of that. It pushes us back to God. It reminds us who really did it in the first place. We're always tempted as people to think we did something, right? We did something awesome. I got a job. Yes. Yeah, you did, but God gave you that job. I've got a good nest egg. Yeah, but God, you worked hard, but God gave you that nest egg. Whatever it is, God is the provider. In gratitude, like Jesus, who both times before both miracles looked at God and said, thank you. Thank you that you did this. Could Jesus have done it by himself in his own power? Yes. Jesus had that power because he was God. But yet he said, God, thank you, because he knew who the provider was. Even Jesus, who could provide anything for himself at any moment, said the ultimate provider is God. Do we believe that? Do we understand that? Do we practice that kind of gratitude? It wasn't just Jesus saying grace because he's a good Jewish boy, right? He was thanking God. Sometimes even in our prayers for our food, we can get a little bit rushed, right? You ever wonder why we do that? I've had people ask me that before. Why do you do that? Well, what it really should be instead of ritual is really being reminded God has provided our daily bread. And man, I'm grateful for this meal. Whether it be some nasty old Taco Bell or some good old Kentucky Fried Chicken, whatever it is. Boy, I like that extra crispy, baby. I know it's not gluten-free. Hey, I like that. But man, when you're thanking God, it just reminds you And that's what I want to encourage you with, that moment when you sit down to pray for your food. Take a little extra time to really say thank you. Tomorrow's not promised. The next meal's not promised. And we got to remember that, amen? There is power in gratitude. Number two, gratitude opens the door to miracles. Look at John chapter 11. You guys with me? Amen, amen. I mean, people got to be fired up around this time. You're about to get some extended time off. Thanksgiving's coming. Can't be dead in the house, right? You'll be happy, get to see family. I mean, that may or may not be good, but you know, amen. John 11, 38, Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. Take away the stone, he said. But Lord, said Martha, the sister of the dead man, by this time, there's a bad odor, for he's been there 4 days. Then Jesus said, did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me. When he had said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. Again with Jesus, he doesn't need to do this. But he wanted people to understand who was making it happen. Who was making this miracle happen, that it was God. That God was the provider, God was the miracle worker. And when we're grateful, it ushers us in to this presence, this opportunity at miracles. Because gratitude and faith are super tied together, as we'll see here in just a second. But these opportunities at miracles, man, it comes from a grateful heart. Think about your heart before God when you go to God and you're asking him for things. I think about our prayers for Maggie. You know, Maggie was converted here many years ago, right here in the Wichita church. Arlie actually grew up near Salina. So they're Kansas people. And think about us praying for them right now. What can we bring to God when we pray and beseech him for a miracle? Gratitude for what he's already done. And you know what's interesting? When you're praying about things that God's already done, what's it do for you as a person? I think a lot of times, I've thought about prayer a lot. I've thought about how interesting it is that we pray and God already knows that we need what we need. And so why do I pray? And why do I ask God for what he already knows? And God knows everything, so what's the purpose? And sometimes, you know what I think? There's an element of prayer that I think we miss, but I think prayer a lot is for us. It's for us to hear ourselves go, oh yeah, I remember when God did this. Oh, I remember when God did that miracle. When he did this miracle. And we're praying through those things and we're grateful. I mean, it just shifts. That gratitude shifts our mindset. And it puts us in a spot where we can see miracles. When we're not grateful, when we're just in the doldrums, it's hard for us to see what God's doing. We get clouded by that lack of gratitude or that frumpiness, that discouragement. We can't see what God's going to do or God has already been doing. There's crazy stuff that happens. And without gratitude, it just looks like pain. My car got hit this week. So I was supposed to start a job. I should have known when the car got hit, I'd be preaching Sunday. Something crazy every week, every time. I should have started getting the lesson ready right then. Something crazy always happens. But going to drop my wife off at work, going through the parking lot, driving away, starting to pray. Literally, I'd said, God, thank you for this. Boom. And I get hit. And I'm like, what just happened? And I just sat there. And I didn't know whether I should cry, if I should be mad. I didn't know what to do. I just sat there. And the girl gets out of the car. Sweet girl. My son was in her eyes. It was a total accident. It's why you have insurance. No malice towards her at all. But I just sat there, and she got out of the car, and she's looking at me, and I'm just sitting there. I'm like, I got nothing, you know? I don't know what to do. And I get out, we exchange, you know, and I try to exchange information, take pictures, all that. And I'm driving, you know, I try to drive away. Car's drivable, but when I got up on the highway, I hear this, whoo, whoo, and I look back, and the bumper's just like that. And I'm like, this is not going to work. What's my point? God's taking care of all this. He always has. He's always going to. And when I'm grateful, I can see the good that's happening. You know, that God, he's taking care of, and he's just showing me again. I could be mad and go, my car got hit, and I was supposed to start this job on Wednesday, which I was. Now I can't start it. All of that, I can get upset about all that. But when I look through it with a lens of gratitude, I can say, God's going to take care of it, and he already has. The girl confessed to it. She said, yeah, I did it. The insurance is taking care of it. Everything's lined out. It's going to be fine. There's those questions of why, right? But when we're grateful, it's much easier to trust. And it's much easier to see what God's already doing in our lives. Amen. Point number three, gratitude is a tremendous spiritual weapon. Luke chapter 17, and we'll remember this story from a few weeks ago when Jeff shared about this, right? About the 10 men with leprosy. This is probably my favorite verse when it comes to gratitude because I just think it shows an amazing heart. Now, on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, Jesus, Master, have pity on us. When he saw them, he said, go show yourselves to the priest. And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was the other nine. Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner? Then he said to him, rise and go. Your faith has made you well. Jesus told the one grateful leper, the one who returned, that his faith had made him well. Gratitude and faith they're linked. They are tied together. It is almost impossible to have faith without gratitude and have gratitude without it building your faith. Think about that. Think about the mentality we have when we're grateful. It just is faith building. And think about how God feels when we're grateful. You know, I've thought about this many times. My youngest, Brooklyn, actually all my kids, they're really good about saying please and thank you. Now, I hope we would have put that in their lives. But I tell you what, when they say that stuff to me, when Hannah comes and she says, Dad, thank you, what's that do for me? Do I feel like I don't want to give ever again? Or do I want to give more? And I believe that's how God is. When we're grateful, God's a giver in his nature. God wants nothing more than to give. God gives so much to us that we don't even need, that he just wants us to have. And even sometimes God gives us stuff that he knows may not be all that great for us, but he wants us to have it anyway because he wants us to be happy. Think about that. Think about the times when God's given you things that you didn't need, but you just wanted. How often it's happened over and over and over again, because in God's nature, he is just a giver. And man, when you're grateful, I think it encourages God a lot. Because how many people don't go back to God and say thank you? How many of us don't go back to God and say thank you? How many times have we prayed, and I know I have, prayed for something, it's happened, and then we just go on with our lives? Not even recognizing it happened, first of all, but then not going back to God and saying, God, thank you that you did that. You didn't have to do that. You could have said no. But he did it anyway. Man, when we're grateful, it's a powerful spiritual weapon against the devil. The devil wants nothing more than for us to be discouraged. He wants nothing more than to just be down in the doldrums, to be Eeyores in life, right? Everything's bad all the time. Thanks for noticing me. I'm just here, blah, 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 you know? No one gets inspired by a character like that. But man, when we're grateful, it's such a powerful spiritual weapon. It just, it moves mountains and it moves our faith. Gratitude is so powerful. But I tell you what, there are some enemies to gratitude. And there's some things we need to be aware of as we're making this trip into gratitude. First of all, is complaining. Boy, this is my big one. I complain about my complaining. I complain about how much I've complained. That's how much of a complainer I am. And it's not complaining. You just cannot justify it. And I tell you what, it becomes a habit. And it also is totally contrary to what gratitude is. Complaining is overlooking what good you have and focusing on what you don't have or what you wish was better. Honestly, complaining is a lack of trust in God. You know, there's a great antidote to this in Philippians 2, 14 through 16. You can write this one down. It says, do everything without complaining or arguing. Why? So that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation. Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky as you hold firmly to the word of life. Think about people that are very grateful people. They shine like stars, don't they? They're different. People who are happy and positive and grateful. There's a brother in Columbia, Missouri. His name is Jim Olson. This guy is like always happy to the point where it makes me mad. We lost a softball game one time. We were out there competing. We're diving. I mean, we're trying to win. You know, we get done. I walk by Jim and Jim goes, oh, well. And I was like, I did confess injurious thoughts to Jim, but I appreciated his heart though. And he was one of those guys, like if someone made Jim mad, then you know, boy, you went a long way. You did something really bad. Cause he was just a grateful guy. He was just happy. And he shined like a star. I mean, gratitude makes us shine. It makes us stand out. And I tell you what, complaining though, we've got to fight that urge. We're going to want to complain when we leave here today. That sermon was just too long. Or that guy, I wish that other guy would have came. You know, why'd they pick on Gwen's birthday and not mine? We're going to want to complain against something. Sorry if I missed anybody's birthday. Sorry. But we're going to complain about something, but we have to fight it and replace it with gratitude. The other one's apathy. Remember we talked about this a few weeks ago. Apathy is such an enemy to gratitude. It's really the opposite. Just settling into that where I just don't care about much. But gratitude, man, gratitude replaces apathy powerfully. Psalm 118, 15 through 17, you can write this one down, says, shouts of joy and victory resound in the tents of the righteous. The Lord's right hand has done mighty things. The Lord's right hand is lifted high. The Lord's right hand has done mighty things. I will not die but live and will proclaim what the Lord has done. Man, that sounds about as far from apathy as you could possibly get, right? Psalm 118, 15 through 17. That sounds about as far from apathy as you can get. Someone who's praising God for what his right hand has done. Man, let us be that Let's fight apathy with praise. Amen. Another enemy to gratitude is entitlement, that I deserve blank. Psalm 103, 9 through 10 says, "He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve, or repay us according to our iniquities." It's important to remind ourselves when we get into that I deserve mode that all we really deserve is death and hell. That's what we deserve. Every one of us, no matter how righteous you've been in your life, no matter how good of a person you've been, that's what we deserve in and of ourselves. But because of Jesus, because of his blood and his body, like Ken talked about, we can get grace. We can get heaven. We can get that opportunity to be with God. But what do we deserve? We have to be so careful with this. Our society is just set up for us to be entitled. It's just set up. Everything's so easy for us. So easy to get food. It's so easy to get, you know, to amass wealth. So easy to do all these things, right? And it's easy to just go, well, I deserve it. And we have to be really careful. It's okay to have a good pride about your work and that you've worked hard. But be careful you don't get into that mode where you just think you deserve all these things. We got to remember who did it. It's God. Amen. Last one is pessimism, and I've talked about this a little bit. I call it the Eeyore complex. Philippians 4, verse 8. "Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things." Our mindset is so important when it comes to fighting against the negativity, the lack of gratitude. It's thinking about the good things. What if our minds were set more on the good that God did versus the things that we want him to do? Might just change things a little bit. Amen. So what are the steps to overcoming? I got three practicals and then we're out of here. Amen. Let's make it a practice to thank God for the blessings he's given you. You know, we talk about this some years. We talk about making a gratitude journal, writing down things you're grateful for. I know my wife's done this continually throughout the year at different times, and she spent times just saying, this is what I'm grateful for. I'd encourage you to do that, even taking time just to pray. Here's what I'm thankful for. Don't get into that lazy mode, okay? I've done this, and I know many of us have. God, thank you for the sun. God, thank you for this cereal. God, and we're really not praying. We're just kind of talking. Let's be thoughtful. Let's really be introspective. But taking time to just thank God. I remember one time, one of the most powerful prayers that I was ever a part of was one of my best friends, Vince Hawkins. We went on a prayer walk. And it was on his spiritual birthday, like the day that, you know, the anniversary of his baptism. And he prayed through his entire life the times where God did amazing things. And that was his whole prayer. And I was so moved. I still remember it today because it was just, I'm like, wow, what a prayer, what an awesome thing to do. I need to do that. I need to remember all the things. It's easy for me to remember all the times when I'm let down or disappointed or discouraged or I failed. I have that list ready to go. Boom, I can bit that scroll out right now and start going, but what about the other side? Can I do that? And the more often I do that, again, it builds our faith, right? So let's resolve to do that in the next few days. Some of us have got some extra time off. Maybe take some time really being introspective and thinking about what has God done in my life. Two, replacing complaining and negativity with gratitude. Really doing it. And I'm talking about aggressively, okay? Because for some of us like me, it's going to take that. My pants are feeling a little bit snug. But thankfully, I have food on my table, right? Turning it around a little bit. Gas prices are so high. But at least I have a car, amen? Turning things around. My church is so busy. but at least we're actively trying to make an impact for God. Amen. I'm tired of getting discipled on my sin. These people won't leave me alone. Well, at least people care enough to say something. Turn those things around. Whatever it is that's your complaint, we all have our pet complaint, don't we? Our little one that we just pet like a little kitty, you know? This is my complaint, and I love it. It's almost like Gollum, my precious, you know? We all have that little one that's just in there, you know, whether it's people when you're driving who get into the turn lane, and it's a long turn lane, and they just ride it to the end, and they never merge. Not personal. Just I've heard people have that. Felt that one. I'm emotional now. But if you have those pet complaints, really being aggressive with that and saying, let me change this thought. Because does it really do you any good to vent that? Kind of feels good in the moment, maybe, honestly, right? Feels good to get that out. But are you in a great mood after you get it out? No. We're just typically followed by more negative, right? So being aggressive with dealing with that. Think lastly, see every problem as an opportunity for God to shine. You know, God is the hero of our story, and God likes to be the hero of our story. And God sometimes, in his wisdom, needs for us to suffer for a little while, because suffering is what makes us whole. Suffering is what, you know, the Bible talks about. Suffering is what made Jesus perfect. It makes us perfect. It more better translated, complete. We have to go through suffering to get there. So why not take that suffering and see it as a great opportunity for God to do something in our lives and for him to do something amazing? Why not change that? You see that so many times in different, you know, parts of Scripture. I think about, I just lost his name. The guy who becomes close to Pharaoh at the end. Joseph. Wow, that's a hard name to remember, right? Joseph. Remember, so Joseph, he's standing there and he sees his family comes in and he's become second to Pharaoh, right? And he's in charge of everything. And he goes, there's this opportunity for him to really punish his family. They sold him into slavery. Then he was, you know, all the things that happened to him. And there was this opportunity for him to just go, you guys are getting smoked now, right? But instead he said, this all happened to the glory of God. What if we had that mentality? That we processed the negative things that have happened to us and said, man, this has happened so that God might be glorified in my life, so that God might be glorified in others' lives. Man, I believe if we put those things into practice, God would be glorified a lot through us. Amen. So why gratitude? It points us back to God, who's the ultimate provider. It opens the door to miracles. It's a powerful spiritual weapon. It makes us the light of the world. When we put our complaining, apathy, entitlement, and pessimism aside, it changes our perspective and it renews our faith. Guys, as we get ready to go into Thanksgiving this coming Thursday, let's not make this a one-time-a-year deal. Let's make it a practice in our lives to become people who are full of gratitude. God has done, and watch what God's going to continue to do. That gratitude will change our mindset, and it'll make us a people who see the blessings of God and are able to proclaim those to others around us. Amen? Amen. Let's go to God in prayer. God, thank you so much for today. Thank you for how loving, kind, merciful you are. God, how patient you are for us. God, many of these things we've heard before. But yet, God, we easily lapse into our old ways of being negative or complaining or whatever. But God, help us remember how powerful and amazing gratitude truly is. And help us to really focus in on what you've done for us in so many ways. God, it can be easy to look at the long list of negatives or the things where we've dropped the ball or fallen short or whatever. But God, you look at us through the blood of Jesus as perfect. And God, help us remember those things. Help us remember the blessings that we have just by being in your presence, by having a relationship with you and with your body. And God, being able to have just everything we have today. God, could things be better? Yeah, always. But things could be way, way worse too. Help us have that in the front of our minds in every way. God, I just want to lift up the Butterfields. Pray for them in this time. God, I pray that we can raise some good money for them next week just to encourage them and help them in this time of need. But God, please do a miracle in a great way. God, thank you in advance for what you're going to do in that family. We love you. We thank you for this time. Pray for a great week for all of us, God. Please help any of those who are traveling to be safe. And we thank you for all your blessings. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You're dismissed. Have a great Sunday.